You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 177 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and U.S. Rider. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse, brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's show, we're speaking with Javis Hamm, who is a dad, pilot, veteran, and an aspiring show jumper known on social media as Dad Learns to Ride. Then we meet an adoptable horse of the week and a new training tip with New Vocations' Bridget Heasley. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Retired Racehorse Radio.
This is Joy Orr, Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York, and you are listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Kristen, it is spring. There's a lot going on. I have so many things I'm going to catch you up on in the horse world between like my last lesson and the fact our farm has another step forward. But also there's a lot going in your world too, because there is like so much herd drama in our group chat for you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This is like probably not very PC to like threaten your horses like verbally, you know, of like either get lamer or get sounder, you know, so we can figure
Threats
something
are not
out.
Commitments.
This is true. Yeah. So I tried it one night, like as I was leaving. I was like, listen, sound or ground. And it worked on Shorty because he blew like the biggest abscess hole in his foot that I've ever seen. And that was pretty gross. But he got very sound very fast. And then we also tested him for Lyme to see if that's why he keeps abscessing. And like longtime listeners might remember that he did test like low key positive for Lyme last fall and we treated it. And now it's like very much Lyme, big Lyme titers, very off the charts. So, so now he's on a different antibiotic regimen. We're like alternating between two antibiotics and then he gets a rest and then we hit him harder with blah, blah, blah. And I just following my vet's instructions. But he feels amazing. Like he thinks he feels great. Now, to be fair, when Shorty is sick, you can't really tell. Like he just keeps on rattling on unless he has an abscess. So like you couldn't tell from looking at him that his Lyme titers were as high as they were. Cause he was like, I'm good. I'm fine. Like whatever. So, Jobber on the other hand, like if anything's wrong with Jobber, you know, immediately because Jobber is the most dramatic ill animal you've ever seen. So like last Friday, Jobber just suddenly started to be very slow. And like, that's a hard one to describe as a symptom. Like I was like, I don't know what to tell you, Dr. Peterson. He's just slow. Like the other two come down to eat and he meanders. He like moseys. And I was like, that's weird. Like normally he's leading the pack. Like it's him and Shorty, like, you know, racing for glory to the feed bucket. And he was like, I'm good to walk. And I was like, well, that's odd. So we have not actually pulled blood and done a full test on him, but it was the day we were going to start Shorty's Lyme meds. And she was like, just start Jobber as well. And we'll give it a week and we'll see how he's going. So we're like midway through the first week and there's not been a whole lot of change. So we'll see. Not really sure what to do with that one. I like spiraled that he was having a laminitic episode, but there's no heat and no pulse. And he's also not gotten any worse. So he's on grass. So like, if your horse is showing any kind of like foot soreness in the spring, that's usually like the first red flag. But then he has no other symptoms other than walks like is sore everywhere, which is also very much like a Lyme symptom. So no fever, like no, like nothing. It's just weird. So that's where Jobber's at.
Jobber.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, man. Like my mom the other day is like, well, I'll just wait till all three horses are sound and then I'll start to ride again. And I was like, I would not wait for that. If I were you, no. If you want to ride, just come and ride. Like I'll teach you a lesson on foot. Like that's fine. But like, don't wait for all three horses to be sound, woman, because we're never going to ride again.
Yeah.
You know, if you tell yourself these things, then it's a pleasant surprise when all three of us do get to ride. So I'm fine with that. You know, moderate your expectations a little bit.
So. Is there like a rain dance equivalent or like spell binding that exists in the world to help your horses magically become sound? Because I feel like if someone has this, they need to stop gatekeeping it.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice. Like, I'm also like trying to be realistic in that, like, we have three retired racehorses at varying levels of like pre-existing conditions who owe us nothing. So I'm like, you know what? Fine. Maybe this is the way I enjoy my horses, standing next to him while he slowly walks everywhere. I just wish I knew, like, how much pain are you in, right? Like,
yeah. So,
we do go to the vet in about 2 weeks. I think this episode is going to drop after the vet, but I won't know the vet results, like, obviously on this recording. I don't know what we're going to do at the vet. So, nice. So that'll be a fun CBD. One for episode 178. We'll have hopefully more of an update. So,
well, now listeners have to come back.
Right. Well, and I think the last episode, both of them were like very lame. Like, Shorty was dramatically lame in 2 feet because he had two abscesses at the same time. And Jobber was a little off in the left front. Jobber now had a tiny, tiny blowout mark from an abscess on the left front, which I never remembered seeing it actually drain. It just all of a sudden there was the mark on his pastern line. And I was like, oh, well, okay, I guess that happened. And then he was sound for a few days, like galloping around the field. And then I went to ride him last week and was like, you don't feel well. So that's how Jobber's spring has gone. But Shorty at least is fine. Shorty actually had to go to work on Sunday because we had to bring the herd down to do some cow work. And we were like, sorry, Short, like, you just got sound. Now you got to go to work. And he was like, this is great. You know, good old.
Oh, Shorty. God.
He's an enthusiastic soul. So he was very good. We took like a hot lap just to be like, how much horse do we have? Because I had Wes and I was like, well, I have a lot of horse, but I'm fine. Like, how are you, Eric? And he's like, I think I'm okay. And then once we got to work, Shorty's like, everything is great. Like, just, you know, he moseys so well. His poles at the level of his withers, he gets the floppy ears and he's just like happy to go to work. So
he is a happy thoroughbred.
Yeah. Wes was the absolute maniac. Wes was very happy to go to work. Yeah.
Who would have thought this horse? I love Wes.
He was like, are we attacking cows?
He's a dressage queen deep down.
He's some kind of queen. I don't know what his deal is, but he was like, this is awesome. I was like, you also have to have breaks today. And he's like, absolutely, I do not have to have breaks. I will. We had to go pick up a little calf that I had seen on our hot lap. I was like, there's a calf in the deep grass over there. We better go check it out. So I was like, all right, buddy, let's go for a little trot and check it out. And he was like, I will mow it down. I was like, oh, no, no. Like, we don't have to kill the calf. And he's like, but I could, though. Do you want me to? I was like, Wes, no. So that's where Wes is at this spring. Slightly homicidal. So, you know, living the dream.
Well, like I said, he's the one in power now. So
yeah, he has all the bargaining chips in his wee hooves. Like, he holds the fate of us all in his little feet. So
he'll get what he can.
Yeah, just where I wanted to be with Wes in control.
Oh gosh. Well, the saga continues. How is house coming for you, Painted Farm?
Oh, good. You know, we have done nothing really with the house, but the garden looks great. So, you know,
I have been enjoying the post on it and watching everything grow.
Yeah, we're actually going to have a side salad this evening because we have enough lettuce at this point to have a side salad. So that's very exciting. That's if you so are rewarding. In your gardening era, then give us a follow. Yeah. If you're not, then find someone else to follow because it's a whole lot of garden right now.
I'm not in my gardening era at all. Like, hostas are my new best friend, but I need something hearty that I can ignore in this current state of my life. But I like to live vicariously through all of my gardening friends. So you can still enjoy it even if you're not in your gardening era.
Okay, good. Because I have tomatillo starts that I need to get in, but I'm going to let them be a little taller.
I love them as a sauce. Like, so good.
Same. They're really hard to find around here because apparently no one else likes tomatillos. So it's me. It's just me. But yeah, how are things going for you? You've been like back in the lesson arena, which is very
exciting.
I'm back
in the lessons. My calendar is suddenly filled up with all kinds of things, which is fun. And I like that most of it does not involve babies for once. They're still here. Actually, Archer is on with us too, but they are not my all right now, which is great. So I had my second lesson, which was a combination of groundwork and ridden work. So what I like about this trainer is she'll always touch on what we talked about the lesson before. So we do like a refresh and I have to teach back what I learned to make sure I retained it. I love that. I have not had an instructor do that for me in a long time. So to kind of learn, what we focus on is how do you teach a horse bit contact for the first time, because everything I'm trying to learn right now is how do you start a horse to be a dressage horse? So assuming this horse has no skills, besides maybe immediate breaking in, but they don't really have any other buttons besides that, this is where we start. And it was kind of cool to see different ways to teach how to relax into the bit, which I appreciated more than just accepting the bit. But honestly, how do you help the horse relax into it and find it to be a balancing tool versus just a communication aid, which I appreciated. Maybe I'll share these tidbits as a training tip on a future episode. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me master them a little bit more so I feel confident to share them.
This is good, because then I can also ride your coattails in lessons. So,
well, and what I like that is I can practice on Astrid, even though she's retired. I can practice this stuff on her because it actually will help relax muscles in her neck too. So it is good for her arthritis for me to be doing exercises like this. And then I got to do ridden work, and I rode my first PRE ever. I know this is not a PRE show, but his name is Rio, and he's a trick pony. So he had many, many buttons, and I quickly learned that because I'm used to riding greener horses. So I was the green horse in the situation this time around. And he was a lot of fun. It quickly exposed my gaps, and it was just a walk. Like, my walk work was horrendous, Kristen. Like,
man. I think the walk is like way overlooked, right? As like something you even have to work on. So,
And if you have a green horse you're bringing along and you're like, oh, you know, I'm not where we want to be, appreciate your green horse's greenness for just a second. Because my green horse walks look great because everyone acknowledges it's a green horse. But I'm not a schoolmaster. And he's clearly showing that I'm like asking too many things at one time. I'm stronger in my right leg than my left legs were drifting. Things are getting exposed very quickly to the point that he went in the middle of the arena and he's like, figure out your stuff. Like, you're,
oh my God.
And I was like, you're right. You're
like a lesson kid. Oh no.
I know. That's humbling. I'm like, I'm 33.
That's humbling, but also like good on you for putting yourself in a position to be humbled, right? And a mindset to be humbled, because that's hard.
It was hard, but I did take it that way too. And I'm like, you know what? You're absolutely right. I'm talking too much. I need to listen more. So I slowed down, focused on like one layer at a time, like getting my rhythm first and ensuring I have straightness. And then I started working on, you know, getting the relaxation a bit that I practiced from the ground and then transferring it to the saddle. And then it all got much, much better. My trot work was much better too. I'm very good at moving a sticky horse forward, but just not at the walk. So I was humbled. Awesome. I felt like I was 10 again.
And like in a fun, youthful way, right? Like, hooray, I'm 10.
Yeah, I am like, sad, though. I didn't bring my camera because I had rushed out, leaving my kids with the grandparents. And I forgot my camera because I think that would have been lovely content. But you know what? I'll catch it next round because I'm sure I haven't improved that much. I'm sure it'll still have no.
I mean, I have faith. I think you're going to be amazing.
Yeah. Don't bet money on that. You have a better chance of the lottery ticket is what I'll say. But it'll get there. It's a place to start. That's been good. And really, really enjoying that piece again. And while I'm sad I'm not doing it on my own horse, it does leave me with some feelings. I like that there are components I can take back and kind of re-spark some fun with her that's safe for her and her current capability. So
that's nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So good stuff. And then farm things are going good. We got our sanitary passed. So all that's good. We know that we can have a septic field there now. And we just got the quote for the architect. So things are moving forward.
Oh, that's so exciting.
But scary is potentially not this September, but next September, if everything goes to plan, we will be moving into the new farm. And then Astrid will move to her new farm in October.
Ah, that's awesome.
I know. So
to go from like nothing, like, you know, like unbuilt on land to Yeah, that's so
fledged.
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I built out like the 10-year plan renderings of what I want it all to look like, because I'm not going to get everything in one go.
No. That's a good idea. I should do that.
It was a lot of fun to put together. But we at least had the first two pastures where they're going to go. And then we already have the horse shelter. We'll put in like automated waters and things like that. But we wanted to lay out the full plan. So we're constantly building and not having to go, oh, we should have put this fence line here instead of over here. Like,
yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
No, I should do that too. Cause like we have like kind of a working footprint. But like, you know, there's like changes we'd like to make, but then it's also overwhelming because I'm like, we can't afford to do everything all at once, you know? So yeah, like prioritizing.
Yeah.
And your plan is a good idea.
It also helped me think like once we got the house where it was going to be, where, or like how I wanted to maneuver around the farm. So maybe I'll put it up on social at some point, the concept, but I thought I wanted pastures in the front and the back of the house. So it's like, we're right in the middle of the horses. But then I was like, we probably need just a backyard that isn't horsey to just entertain, have fun, relax, not yeah. look at what's eating all of our funding all the time. Right.
Well, and like, you know, it's hard to know what your kids are going to be into as well, right? Like they might need some yard for some of the stuff that they want to do.
Exactly. And there's like this little grove and mini trail behind the house. And I'm like, I might just put out some little logs and have a mini cross country course that I can go pop along on. And then it connects to our nature trail. So
yes.
I'm going to keep that completely open and not turn it into pasture.
Good idea.
Yeah. But it was helpful to plot it.
Yeah.
So that's the future there. But in the present state, I'm preparing for fly season, and I'm so grateful that Spalding is a sponsor of this show because we got our fly predators. I'm so grateful. They make such a difference, Kristen. I believe you've used them before, too.
No, I haven't, but that's why I'm looking forward to getting my own property so I can.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because with the cows, it's just too much.
Let me influence you so hard because it is the best money I've ever spent. We get really bad flies where we are because we're not far from water with my boarding barn. And we are pretty good with manure control, but you can only do so much at the same time. And it gets wet around here. So you get lots of flies. They hang out. And while we get breezes, we don't have good valleys. So if you are lucky enough to get a windy day, the flies aren't bad, but a lot of times it's stagnant. So the flies are terrible. I have noticed the seasons where we don't have fly predators, you are getting eaten, your horse is getting eaten, everyone is miserable. To the seasons we have used them, it's like a 50% cut of the flies. I go through way less fly spray. There's only a couple days that if it's like really hot and humid, you'll notice the flies, but truthfully, it's not bad at all. So if you want to cut down your fly spray budget, I would recommend getting that. And they're not that expensive, truthfully, for the full season.
To help cut the cost for any listeners who want to give it a try, we do have a network code. If you use code HRN10, that's just letters HRN10, use that at checkout with Spalding and you will save a little money. So
yeah. Save money,
folks.
Save your legs, save your horse. You will love it. So that was my influence of the day. And speaking of influence, we have lots of great influence, especially if you are a parent who does not currently ride but wants to support your child, or you are someone who rides and has someone in your life who doesn't ride and you want them to support you, you're going to love our guest. Our guest is someone who started riding in his mid-years because he wanted to get closer to his daughter. You're now going to be inspired to start writing too. And we're going to influence you with KPP because let's be real, our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products, is helping all of our horses stay healthy and happy. So you're going to hear a little message from them now. Is your horse suffering from respiratory problems like intermittent coughing, nasal discharge, seasonal allergies, poor performance, or difficulty breathing during exercise? Kentucky Performance Products has a new supplement, Airwise, that can help. Formulated using a synergistic blend of high-quality, potent antioxidants and micronutrients, Airwise is research-proven to help horses maintain healthy respiratory function. It has been shown to promote normal respiratory rates, enhance lung function, support a healthy inflammatory response in airways, and maintain immune health. To see if Airwise, available through veterinarians, is right for your horse, speak with your vet and visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974. Well, I am so excited to introduce our guest for this episode. We have Javis Hyam with us, and he is a pilot, a father, and has come into the equestrian world, which I don't think we always see very often, a dad getting involved after kids. We see them before kids. So it's really interesting to hear his perspective and learn a little bit about how he got involved with horses and how he came with his thoroughbred that he's now competing. So welcome to the show, Javis.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
We're excited to have you. I have to let you know, we do get a lot of requests to have more male guests. So for all of our male listeners, you're welcome. We did it.
Well, I hope I can add something to this conversation. So we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely excited to have you because you do have kind of an interesting story. I found you on Instagram. And really enjoyed kind of going through the quick history of, you know, dad learning to ride. Can you tell us a little bit about how you came into the equestrian world?
Yeah, sure. So my daughter has been riding for about 3 years. And we went to her first show. This was back in January last year, her first show. And like all parents, you know, we kind of showed up having no idea what to expect. But what became very evident and obvious is I have no idea what I'm doing. I couldn't even help in any way, shape, or form. And I realized that my daughter was on an island, if you will, by herself. And so I felt like, hey, I should probably at least take a few lessons to learn about her sport a little bit. And then to be able to assist her in showing, because we had moved sort of to a different area of her training where she was expected to, you know, go to shows on occasion. And so I wanted to be able to assist her. So that was sort of the genesis, just, hey, let me take a once a week sort of lesson, you know, nothing crazy. I wasn't even thinking about showing. I just wanted to learn a little bit to be able to help her and connect and grow with her a little bit in the sport.
Yeah, I think that's one, so admirable, like very high dad power on your end. Like my husband would be so excited to hear that. Because I think a lot of horse parents who kind of get involved in the sport because their kids end up loving it, you know, they take more like the sideline space, and that's totally okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not for everyone, right? There's different hobbies for different people. But most of them, I would say like, kind of pick up along like the groundwork stuff or like, how can I help you lend or learning a little bit about the tack, just to, I don't want to say call it the bare minimum, but they're there to support, but they're more the cheerleaders. But you took it a step further and you're like, let me actually learn this sport. So I love that you wanted to get closer to her as too. How did she feel with you taking lessons? Because I think depending on her age at the time, I would have been a little mortified with my parents taking lessons with me, but I think if I was an adult now, I would love it.
I think she was fired up, you know, to have someone, to have me sort of join her in it. And I was taking lessons differently than her. So she was in a different group. She was in a much more advanced group at the time. And I was taking sort of one-on-one, once a week-ish kind of lessons during the day when I was home and available. And so, you know, occasionally, especially in the summer, once we got into the summer timeframe when she was out of school, she'd come and watch and laugh at me and we'd have a good time. Sometimes we'd do a lesson together on the weekend or something like that where she would be able to watch. And so right away, it was really interesting and fun for us because we were able to connect and I was able to start asking her questions. Hey, you know, I had this problem on the horse. How do you fix that? And she was then able to really kind of open up and talk me through some things and kind of show us and me what her knowledge base was and what her skill level really was. And I got to say, horse riding is one of those things that, you know, I've done a lot of other hobbies as an adult, picked up new things as an adult, right? Martial arts and triathlons and all these kinds of things. Horse riding is the hardest thing I've had to pick up as an adult. It's so challenging and difficult in many ways. And you don't really appreciate that and know that perhaps, until you actually sit on the horse for the first time and start trying to learn it. And for me, it really showed me just how tough and resilient and dedicated my daughter is, because you have to be those things when you're learning to ride.
Ah, I love it. And we're going to take that quote, put it on a t-shirt for everyone who doesn't know. And you're like, well, don't you just sit on the horse? Doesn't the horse do all the work? And I'm like, come over to the barn and we'll show you how much you actually have to do.
You almost can't blame people for that, because if you do it right, it looks it looks easy. Mm-hmm. It looks like that's exactly what they're doing. They're just sitting on the horse, just kind of do, and the horse is doing its thing. So I'll admit, I sort of fell into that category also, you know, as a dad sort of sitting there watching. I was like, oh, it's kind of fun. You know, she's trotting around, cantering around. Oh, that's kind of cool. Cantering around. You know, oh, she's cantering with one hand. Oh, that's kind of interesting. But until you do it, you don't really realize how hard that is.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you mentioned that you have done martial arts and triathlons. Like, that's a lot of training. That's a lot on your body. My husband does jujitsu. I was in track for a long time in cross country. Okay. Like, it's a lot of work on your body. How have you felt having more of a athletic background has helped you kind of get into the horse world?
It certainly helps in a lot of ways, right? You have proprioception awareness, so you know your body parts. You know how to maintain some semblance of balance and an athletic posture, if you will. But if you're middle-aged like me and you've been in sports all your life, you kind of also carry some, injuries with you. And so in some ways it's been great. Being fit and healthy really helps, because you can sort of not have to worry as much about, you know, some of the muscle soreness perhaps, and you have just awareness, like I said, proprioception. At the same time, though, you're carrying those injuries with you, and they can be a little bit of a limiting factor. You know, if you have bad knees or like a bad back like I do or something like that, you know, then you have to sort of work around those issues. So it's a two-edged sword, I think. I would say it's probably best to be, you know, as fit and healthy as you can, you know, from a mobility perspective, a cardiovascular perspective, and certainly strength. Now, I will say all of that background and the training and everything else, it's a new sport. And so you are going to have different and new muscles that you're not used to using in ways maybe that you're not used to using them. I don't know what they're called, abductors or adductors. I can never remember which one it is, but the inside of the legs, right? Kind of where your groin area is. That was so sore from, it was probably poor riding mechanics anyway, but just from trying to, you know, maintain my balance and posture and everything like that. I was very surprised that I was actually sore. I went into this, of course, like, probably I shouldn't think it. Ah, I got the physical fitness part down. That's the only thing I bring into this, is that piece. And even with a relatively healthy body and a pretty fit body, I still faced a few little challenges there.
Yeah, I always think that probably this activity that would get you the most prepared for horseback riding is either going to be like dance, like ballet, or Pilates, because of how it uses a lot of those small muscles that you don't activate. Like, if you're strength training or running or even doing soccer or football, like, it's just a different muscle set. And if you're truly doing it right, like you said, like, it looks effortless because all those small muscles are the ones working together. But I love that you have that appreciation for it. And like that you mentioned that your daughter's strong and resilient. I think a lot of parents, I don't want to say it would be humbled, but I will say it. We'll be humbled taking one lesson.
100% true.
Yeah. Yes,
you can be humbled. And I recommend, and I would suggest maybe that any parents who have not had a background in riding, have never ridden before, give it a shot. Get on a horse and just take a lesson, and just, even if it's just walking, which it probably should be the first few lessons, you immediately gain an appreciation for just how challenging this particular sport is in any of the disciplines, whether it's dressage or jumping or whatever. Of course, you're going to start with the very basics, which is simply walking around on a lead line, probably without reins or anything like that. And you get a chance to really see just how difficult it is. And and then as you kind of progress, if you stick with it and you progress, okay, now we're going to start trotting, and now we're going to try to canter, and then you kind of move along, you really then get to see how challenging it is.
Absolutely. Oh, I love it. Well, let's talk about how you've taken a couple lessons. Tell us a little bit about the discipline that you're currently doing and
okay,
how you decided on that.
So I'm in show jumping. Nothing huge. right now I'm at 65 centimeters. So what is that? 2'3", something like that. It's kind of where I'm hanging out. And I got into that because that's what my daughter was doing. That's mm-hmm. at the barn we were at, that's what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And so I went, hey, that's kind of cool. You know, again, mm-hmm. that's not what I started. That was not my initial intention. I had no intention of going that far with it. I just wanted to learn a little bit, but it grabs you, you know, it, at least it did me. Now, it doesn't happen for everyone either. I mm-hmm. guess you love it or you don't. But mm-hmm. I found out that, wow, I actually really enjoy this. And it was kind of surprising, to be honest with you. But yeah, show jumping is what I'm doing now.
Fun. And how did you feel going over your first jump?
It was thrilling, to say the least. You know, I've done a lot of things. I was a military pilot and all this other stuff. And I've been into some pretty exciting situations. But turning the corner in a canter, actually, I think I was in a trot. I was in a trot, actually. Looking at this tiny cross rail. I mean, it was barely off the ground, but I'm staring at this thing on my horse. And Bandit's pretty big horse, 17.2. We're making our way toward that cross rail, and my heart was pounding. I was really excited and thrilled, and it was a total disaster. I knocked the pole over, almost fell off. It was a mess. but it was incredible, an incredible feeling. And right then and there, my appreciation for the sport grew even more, because as I'm watching my daughter jump bigger and some other kids in the barn jump bigger, and certainly at shows where you see people jumping 1.40 meters and 50, what are, you're like, oh my gosh, it really drove home the fact that this is an incredible sport and very challenging and difficult.
Ah, so much fun. I remember doing my first jump, and I have dressage legs. I don't say I'm stiff, but I learned to keep my seat in the saddle. Okay. So in the first time I did the jump, it looked so graceful watching the jumpers do it. And I'm like, oh, I can do that. I've been riding for years. I landed on my horse's neck. I really didn't know what I was doing. And, you know, as an equestrian for years, I was humbled in that moment. Like, oh, even yeah. different disciplines. Yeah. Absolutely. You still have to learn different things.
You still have to learn. And even though you get instruction, even though the whole time I was receiving instruction, right? It wasn't like, okay, there's a jump, go for it. And then it ran away or something, the trainer, right? They're telling me, okay, do this, do that, do this. It wasn't sinking in. And you're just staring at this thing going, oh, and you go over it. And you're like, oh, I just went over this jump. Okay. Even now, sometimes I don't hear the instructions necessarily.
Yeah.
Leads to less than ideal outcomes in some occasions.
Well, it helps having a good horse. So let's talk mm-hmm. a little bit about your horse, Bandit.
Okay.
So you not only got into lessons, you purchased a horse, and you purchased a thoroughbred on top of that. Tell us a little bit more about him and how you found him.
So I got him about 6 months into my riding journey. And at the time, the trainer we're with found him. Yeah, it was an advertisement, I believe on Facebook, some type of page on Facebook. And he saw it, and he knew the trainer where Bandit was coming from. And he said to me, hey, if you're serious about doing this sport, this is your guy. And I wasn't sure at the time, you know, like, hey, God, we just bought my daughter's horse. I don't know, it's a big commitment. You know, I can barely trot. You know, why do I want to buy a horse and everything else? But I read about him. I watched some videos. I talked to the trainer, the owner, about him. And, you know, I slept on it a couple of days in Hendon Hall. But there was something about him, and I don't know how to explain this. Maybe people have had this happen in life where something just resonates and you're compelled in some way to take action. And I was like, well, I am serious about this. I want to go to a show. I want to get that good at some point. You can't do that on a lesson horse once a week. That just, you need to ride more. And so I sight unseen, basically drove up there in a trailer and picked him up and bought him. I didn't ride him. I didn't do anything. I just showed up and we bought him.
You're in good company on this show, by the way. I think a lot of our listeners have done that before, myself included.
Yeah. I mean, would I do that now that I bought a few horses? No, I would absolutely not do that now because I know better. I would still go up there and check him out but mm-hmm. I would try him out for sure because we've learned that lesson the hard way. Also, you really do need to try horses out. It just happened to work out and I don't know how to explain it. It's fate, serendipity, whatever you want to call it. I couldn't have asked for a better partner and schoolmaster than I received in Bandit. I mean, he is everything you could want. And my trainer was nailed it when he said, this is your guy.
Ah, that's beautiful. And especially, I think a lot of people will get nervous about Thoroughbred being your first horse, especially as a beginner, because of some of the stereotypes out there about them. But truthfully, I mean, they're no different than any other horse if they have the right education and personality. So for you to take that chance on a Thoroughbred, off the track Thoroughbred, and he's just been a good teacher for you, like you said, a good, I'll say babysitter too. I feel like having a really good schoolmaster horse, like take you along and make sure you're safe through it, it does make the experience so lovely and start to build your confidence.
100%. And I don't know how it works. I'm still new to this sport, how a schoolmaster becomes a schoolmaster. And he's a little older and he'd been off the track for a minute. At the time he was 17 when I bought him. And I think he'd been off the track for 14, 15 ish years. So he wasn't, you know, there was a plenty of recovery and sort of rest time. And then I don't know what the term is, but time from the track to when he, when I purchased him. And the previous owner had him the whole time. And she did an amazing job of, you know, kind of getting him out of one job into the next job, slowly bringing him up and training him in the right way. So on the ground, he's great. He's so patient. Oh my gosh. If you saw I guess you found me on Instagram. I hope you didn't see that one year post, because it's so painful to watch. Oh my gosh.
It's exactly what I found.
Oh my.
But it was beautiful. Like, I loved it. That's what made me message you. Like, you have to.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But you know, in that video, of course, you see me pulling all over his face and just being rough and too strong here and there. And he just went with it and allowed me to learn. Not to say he's perfect. You know, you have to ride him, and that's where the schoolmaster part comes in. He doesn't have lead changes, for example. He doesn't do some things. So I've had to learn how to ride that, but he's allowed me to figure that out and learn how to ask for those things, ask those questions in the right way. So yeah, I just got really lucky. And I will say, the first time I saw him, he's huge. He's 17.2, right? So I'm walking up, and the horse I rode in the lessons was a little guy. He's a little quarter horse, like 15.2 or something. So I walked up to this horse and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is enormous. You know, he's going to kill me. But he was so calm and sweet. And I just, you know, kind of gave him a pet, and he was so nice that we just immediately connected. And now to this day, we have this really unusual, I call it the old guy connection. Like, we're both middle-aged men, but you know, he comes up and, you know, I kind of know him, he knows me, and it's been wonderful. Yeah, it's great.
Oh, I love that. What a good boy. Yeah, we've gotten to do some shows now. I know we're coming up to time on this interview. There's so many more questions I have, but I'd love to know, like, what made you want to start documenting it on Instagram?
Well, you know, I will say I was reluctant. I went a long time without doing it. And my daughter and the trainer we were with, his name is David Record. I don't know if you know him. He's with the founder of the UDJC, United Dressage and Jumping Club. We were riding with him, and he said, you know, you should document this. This is really cool. It's unusual. And my daughter said, yeah, Dad, you should do that. And so that's kind of how it started. That was the whole genesis of it, really, was to just sort of document it. And then it kind of grew over time. And then I had the one video or whatever, that the one reel that sort of got a little bit of notice. And now it's this thing now. So here I am.
Now you're responsible for a whole another thing in your life.
Yeah, you know, but it's fun and challenging. And for the most part, I tell you this, there's a lot of knowledge out there, good knowledge, and a lot of people really want to help. And I was, you know, really appreciative. I am really appreciative of that. People genuinely watch the videos and they offer advice and tips and things like that. And it acts as what we used to say in the military is a force multiplier, right? It adds your learning capability much, you know, because your trainer can only do so much and they can only see so many things. in a moment there. But when you have it on video, other people can look at it and you get different perspectives sometimes. And that's really been good. So from that perspective, not only documenting it and keeping up with it over time, the growth over time and all the fun and challenges and wins and losses and everything. There's also the aspect of additional learning and help that's out there. So that's been great, unexpectedly.
Ah, amazing. Well, if anyone wants to follow your journey with Bandit, where can they follow you?
On Instagram. I'm just Instagram only guy right now. and that's Dad Learns to Ride. Dad Learns to Ride on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us and sharing about your story. And I hope it inspires other parents who may not have been on a horse yet to try it out and have an opportunity to get closer with their kids who love horses too. So, and give Bandit a carrot from us.
Oh, I sure will. He gets mountains of carrots for putting up with me. And I would add to that, absolutely. Any parents who are kind of on the fence, never thought about it, just give it a shot. You know, you have nothing to lose. And I promise you, you will gain a lot. At least one lesson, you'll go, wow, this is much different than I thought. I promise that'll happen. Thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
You can enjoy your favorite equine videos all in one place with Ride TV, the ultimate equine streaming platform. The newly relaunched Ride TV has all the series you love, like Rockstar Vets and Mini Horses, plus top-tier training videos and event footage from BarrelRacing.com and Horse and Rider On Demand. Whether you're ready to relax with your favorite series, binge-watch competition footage, or train with a world champion, subscribe to Ride TV today for only $19.99 to see where your ride takes you. Visit RideTVGo.tv to subscribe.
Well, it is that time of the show where we introduce our friends from New Vocations. And today we have Bridget Heasley joining us. Welcome back to the show, Bridget.
Hello.
It's always good to have you. And I know you've had a busy adoption season. We'll talk more about that when we get to our adoptable horse of the week. But we always like to start with a training tip. And Kristen has inspired, or I should say really Wes has inspired this question today.
The horse is a walking training red flag. He's fine.
It's fine. He is passionate. That's it, Kristen. He has passion in his soul. And, you know, tenacity, but that's okay. But there is a stereotype that standardbreds can be considered hard mouthed. And I'd love to know more about how did that stereotype come to be? And if you happen to get one that's maybe a little stronger in the bit, what are some ways you can soften them?
So I think that is a perception that people have about standardbreds because when you ride them for the first few times, well, more than the first few times, when you start riding them, when you start them under saddle, they don't have any lateral work, you know. So even though thoroughbreds and standardbreds are both like racing hard into the bridle, thoroughbreds still have to do a little bit of lateral side to side movement, where standardbreds in the shafts are really just going almost all straight forward. So I think people assume they're hard mouth when they pick up to bend them one side or the other and they just lean straight forward into the bit because that's all they know. You're probably getting a very similar response if you just, you know, hold a thoroughbred as you would if you just hold a standardbred, but you do get a little bit more lateral give already on a thoroughbred that you don't have on a standardbred. So the way to soften them is to do that lateral work, right? Like start small, little bends, little flexions, carrot stretches, baby serpentines, just teaching them that they don't have to be in your hand all the time, that they can back off and wait for a cue one direction or the other versus just, I've got my head here and we're motoring down the line.
I feel very seen. But I mean, like, yeah, that's like I'm accustomed, I think, because my thoroughbreds were a little, by comparison, in some ways, in many ways, much more difficult to bring along than the standardbred. Mm-hmm. But the standardbred is, in his own different ways, is a more of a challenge. And with so many years of driving under his belt, his lateral work is not nearly as automatic as the thoroughbreds, you know, where I just like hand to leg and like, I'm, or leg to hand, I don't think about it. And they just, you know, bend and ta-da, and like, you know, we've diffused the situation. And with Wes, he's just like, he's not quite there yet. So he's still like, leg hand faster. You're like, whoa. Okay. But it also drives me nuts. You know, sometimes, especially like people who just want to ride recreationally or just ride on the trail are like, I don't need all that fancy lateral stuff. And I'm like, I don't know that people fully understand how helpful, you know, quote unquote, all that lateral stuff is. Not only right. on the trail, but to diffuse those situations where you have a strong horse in hand.
Right, you know? Right. And, like, you know, I think sometimes people think lateral and they're assuming half passing, side passing, things like that, and just forgetting about, you know, basic bending, left, right, you know, softening one side versus the other, inside rein, outside rein, you know, all of those good things. You know, we don't maybe necessarily think about that as lateral, we just sort of take it as a given with a riding horse. And, you know, these standardbreds are not coming from a riding background, so it's not really a given with them. It's something that they do have to learn as they go.
And especially anyone who rides in an arena, like, you can only dirt bike, you know, so much before you're like, okay, whoa, hang on, we got to bend the ring here, you know?
Yeah.
You know, or like anyone who's just doing, like, any, even if you don't have an arena, right? Like any kind of like a flat work figure, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. a basic circle, like you figure out pretty quickly, like, we need some level of lateral bend. And yeah, you don't have to be, you know, half passing down the quarter line, but you still need to, you know, not go around like a 2x4 either.
Exactly.
So, all right, to transition over, we were taking a little preview on the New Vocations website for adoptable standardbreds. And at the moment that we're recording, they're all gone. Like, you're sold out. You have no standardbreds. Like, where'd they all go?
I know. We have more coming, I promise. There's more.
There is always more. So you were going to give us...
Yeah, so they will be posted by the time this airs. Yes, yes.
Great.
And yeah, Mr. Badrock actually has some riding training coming into the program. He would get hauled off to go on trail rides while he was actively racing.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah. So he has a lot more experience under saddle generally, although still, you know, doesn't necessarily know those lateral bending cues that some of your riding horses do. But he is a son of Pet Rock, which always brings
Pet
us
Rock.
Our favorite names. we get good
you, like,
names.
You said it and it, like, it didn't register right away. I was like, ah, yes, Pet Rock. And then I was like, Pet Rock. What a great name.
Yes.
Standardbreds are so unserious. Oh, my God.
Yes, I love it. No, but Mister is a good guy that has, like, a really nice head start already. So, you know, since we're theoretically finally getting into the warm weather, it was 90 yesterday, it's only 50 today, but I swear trail riding weather is coming. It's coming. You know, he's got a
trail riding weather if you got the right clothes.
You say that, but I don't like
yeah, I don't, I was a lot more ambitious a few years ago, so yeah, no, I'm with you, it's right. Fine, carry on.
But he did not seem to mind the puddles. We went out today, and you know, when life gives you rain, you do some water training with your trail horses, and we went and splashed around in the water out on our trail course, and he's just he's got a good go-getter attitude and will be a super fun trail horse for somebody that is ready to go out. You know, they're itching to get out there. It's been a long, cold winter. He might just be the guy for you.
I love that. Bad Rock. That's a good name.
Mr. Bad Rock.
I love it. And I bet he is 0% bad, 100% good.
Good rock. He's pretty good. He's a pretty good rock. He's a solid rock.
Oh my gosh, these standardbreds.
I just want you to know my husband is cringing sitting in the chair across from me right now.
You're welcome. Love it. All right. Well, I know we don't have him on the website yet, but he will be on the website by the time this episode drops. So for mm-hmm. listeners, where can they go if they are interested in Bad Rock or any of the other great standardbreds you have at New Vocations?
They can head on over to horseadoption.com or newvocations.org. If you don't already have an application in, click that pre-questionnaire to get yourself started on there, because our standardbreds do go quick and, you know, got to get that application in so you're ready to go.
I know. Oh, once again, I feel seen because I still don't have mine on file. I really got to get on that. Well, thanks a lot, Bridget. Best of luck to Bad Rock, and we will talk again soon. You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. Joy is killing it over there, by the way. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Writer, and you can follow along with our new farm adventures on Instagram at Painted Forest Farm. My email is Kristen at horseradionetwork.com.
Thank you for the compliment, friend. It is big shoes to fill. You can find me on Instagram at MisfitMare, and my email is joy at horseradionetwork.com. Thank you to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and U.S. Rider, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe, as it really helps us grow. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride.
And as always, cow side leg.
Hi, guys.